Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة wa kullu dalalatin fin nar aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, first and foremost we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all praise due to Allah as he deserves all praise. In the lafaz of alhamdu, in the phrase of alhamdulillah, the al, if we study Arabic, means alif lam al-istighraqi, which means it covers all kinds of hamd, all kinds of praise. So when we say alhamdulillah, which means we say all praises, whatever things that happen, whatever afflicts us, we say all praise is due to Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all praise. He is the Rabb, he creates everything, he is the one who gives life and death, and he is the one who organizes all of the things that is around us. He is Al-Khaliq, Al-Mudabbir. He arranged everything in order so that everything that we, alhamdulillah, we are istimta' nastamta' bil ni'am, we are enjoying all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything for us. And alhamdulillah, this life is not merely life, living and eating and drinking, marriage, having fun, and then we passed away and become dust. We are here for a great purpose, and we are burdened with an al-amana. We are burdened with al-amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal ardi wal jibal. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented al-amana ala samawati wal ardi wal jibal, to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا, and they refuse to take this big burden of amana. So what happened? وَأَشْفَقَنَا مِنْهَا, because they are very, very scared to take on this very, very heavy duty, that the duty of whatever that Allah command that we have to do, and wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade, we have to stay away. So what happened next? وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, and mankind takes this burden, takes this amana, subhanallah, this big amana, all the great الخلاق المخلوق العظيم. All of these great, great creations, the mountains, the heavens, and the earth, they refuse to take this obligation. Then the one who took it is al-insan, yani us, humankind. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala ends the ayah with innahu kana zaluman jahula, and verily mankind is zaluman, they are oppressive and jahula, and they are ignorant. That means they don't know what will come with the burden. What is the burden that they are carrying on? Unless those who seek knowledge of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, those who know the purpose of the amana. And we know this life is an amana. Whatever that you have assigned with is amana as well. I am sitting here in front of you. This is the amana that's given to me by Al-Khadim, alhamdulillah, to replace the Sheikh. Unfortunately, he is not around again. So I have to step in, and inshallah, I'll try my best to carry on with this syllabus so that we won't forget, so that we won't ignore whatever that we have learned before. And also an amana for all of those who knows about this class. For those who have attended the class, it is an amana for you to come to the class. For this thing, especially here in Malaysia, they really, really neglect this part, which is to come to class. To come to class, istiqamatan, which means come to class consistently. I know Sundays, weekends, these are the times that we allocate for our families, for our loved ones, to our free time from work. But we need to check. We need to have a dedicated, at least one or two sessions that we come to class. Doesn't matter who is the speaker. Doesn't matter what is what is the topic offered. The main thing is al-istiqamah. The main thing is al-istiqamah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who say, my Lord, our Lord is Allah, and they keep in steadfast. أَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا وَمَرْحَبًا بِكُمْ. Welcome to our Sunday class. This is your first time here? أَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا. Welcome. I repeat, unfortunately, the Sheikh is not around. Datuk Sheikh Husaini, he is abroad to another country as well. Last week he was in another country. This week he is in another country. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to preserve him, to give him good health, so that he can continue to share whatever his experiences and knowledge to others as well. And we hope that he can stay here as well to share his experience with us, especially because we are the most in need of his experience and knowledge. Walillahi alhamd. So alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, amana. Everything that you are assigned with is an amana. So delivering your amana, delivering your obligations, you need to have this thing which is called al-ihsan. The highest level of deen, the highest level of a Muslim that can achieve is al-ihsan, muhsin. We know from the hadith of Jibril, we have three levels of deen, maratibuddin we call it. And the first one, when you enter Islam, you will be called a Muslim, right? You will be called a Muslim, which means we submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to do all the obligations that a Muslim should do is upon us. So this is al-Islam, the first basic one. And we cannot say that those who reverted to Islam at the first point, we say they are a mu'min, they are a believer. No. As the ayah of the Quran in Surah Hujurat say, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. Those, the Bedouins, when they entered Islam, they say, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have believed, amanna. And then Allah said to the Prophet, qul lam tu'minu, and say to them, no, you have not yet believed, you have not yet entered the full of iman, because this is the first step. You discover Islam, you believe first, and then you practice Islam, you do all the obligations, and then walamma yadkhulul iman fi qulubikum, and then whenever the iman comes into your heart, then you become a mu'min. So stages by stages. So, and the highest level of somebody who can achieve as a slave of Allah is al-muhsin. Yani, those who do ibadah, those who worship Allah as though he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us, looking at every single thing that we do. And this is what we call al-muraqabah. We feel all the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. So with this characteristic, that with this level of iman, يعني al-ihsan, that you imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with you whenever you do something. For example, I can relate to work. For example, somebody who is doing, for example, live streaming, like the brother. If he does live streaming by himself, this class, it was live streaming. There's somebody, the operator is behind the laptop or PC. So he has to operate it. This is his amana. So when he is assigned with this amana, he will do it as he's told. And it will be different if the boss is sitting beside of him. It will be totally different. You will see him, you know, maybe wear something else, something better, maybe smell better. Maybe he will be very, very particular about all the things that are happening, because of he knows that his superior is here. But walillahi al-mathalul a'la, but for Allah is the greater example. We cannot run from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is always seeing us. Allah is always watching whatever that we do. And with this belief, with this i'tiqad, with this aqidah that we have, we should strive better. We should do whatever that we do in front of people, when people are watching, is the same whenever we are alone. So this is what we call al-ihsan, excellence. Excellence in everything. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha katab al-ihsan 'ala kulli shay." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written al-ihsan, excellence, in every single matter. Everything that you do, you have to do it for the sake of Allah. Whenever you do it for the sake of Allah, you have to do it in the best manner as possible, because you are, you know, impressing the one who created you, your Lord. So what is your level of love towards your Rabb? So that is the question that you can ask yourself. You don't have to answer. Only you know where is your position with your Lord. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all those who are sincere in their worship to Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are muhsinin, that achieve the greatest level of the Jannah. Amin rabbil alamin. So alhamdulillah, for those who are new here, welcome to Al-Khadim, our Sunday class. We are discussing this book, actually. This is our syllabus, Our Precious Sprouts. So every Sunday, we try to focus on family matters according to the teachings of Quran and Sunnah, with the understanding of the Sahaba and the Salaf al-Salih, those pious predecessors. Well, alhamdulillah, now we are in the bab, in the chapter of deterrence of good. Yet still here, we have discussed about pictures, we have discussed about those things that can affect the environment in your house. Maybe sometimes you want to do ruqyah, you want to do some, you know, you want to cure somebody, for example your children, with these ayats of Quran, for example, with this ruqyah. But you see, is not effective. So that's why the author here, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jibali, he suggested maybe there are things that you are keeping that prevents all these things to happen, that prevents all of these things to be effective. For example, like dolls that are in animated figures, you know, have a very, very, very real kind of figures, like, you know, exactly like a human, for example, like Barbies, you know, example, etc., etc. We've discussed this before. And then now, subhanAllah, I always get the controversial parts, huh? Right? Allahu musta'an. So the best person to talk about this is Sheikh, of course. But alhamdulillah, I am just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Let us continue to, you know, read the book. What does the author wants to say? Okay. I know when we talk about music, this is a very, very, I don't know, in Malaysia at least, it's very controversial when we say music is haram, right? When music is haram, say, oh, you are so strict, you are not tolerant, you are not open. What kind of ustaz is it? Okay, it's okay. But our religion, brothers and sisters, we have to go back to the original source. We don't want to go back to, the first thing we have to go back is the original source. And then we go to what the scholars said about it. And then, you know, so it's good to go back to the source. Yani, our source is the Quran and the Sunnah, right? InshaAllah, we just read it first, inshaAllah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Music, alhamdulillah. Some people believe that classical and soft music has a soothing effect on babies. Based on this non-Islamic concept, music competes with images in filling the child's world. Music is played constantly in children's amusement parks, movies, and restaurants. Many of the baby's toys play music when touched or pressed or hugged. Even infant toys such as rattles and swings play musical segments as well. So we see now he is setting it around that everything now is surrounded with music, you know, with all these sounds, even though the toys for the baby. So when they are growing up, they are exposed to music. Music, right? Okay. Unfortunately, many Muslims view music as an innocent practice. It is okay for most of the Muslims nowadays. Thus, they make it as an essential part of the children's life. So this is an error. The writer said it is an error that conflicts with authentic texts. So this is a very, very important point. You see, saying that music is okay conflicts with the authentic texts from the Quran and the Sunnah. Furthermore, there is a consensus among the early scholars of Islam. Consensus among the early scholars of Islam, the Salaf, including the four Imams, the four Madhahibs. When writers say four Madhahib, which means is, who knows? Abu Hanifa, Malik first, and then Shafi'i, and then Ahmad Ibn Hanbal, Hanbali. So these are the four biggest school of thoughts that were followed from the early days of Islam until now. In terms of fiqh, in terms of interpreting the text of the hadith, the authentic sources for Islam, Quran and Sunnah, and etc., etc. Anas, Imran, Abu Umama, Ali bin Abi Talib, Abu Hurairah reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, لَا يَكُونَنَّ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ خَسْفٌ وَقَذَفٌ وَمَسْخٌ وَذَلِكَ إِذَا شَرِبُوا الْخَمْرُ خُمُورًا وَاتَّخَذُوا الْقِينَاتِ وَضَرَبُوا بِالْمَعَازِفِ. There will be among the people of this ummah earth collapse, yani sinking, stoning, and metamorphosis. That will be when they drink alcohol beverages, keep female singers, and play on musical instruments. This hadith is recorded by Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi and others, verified authentic by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala in Sahih Al-Jami' and As-Sahiha, Silsila Hadith As-Sahiha. And another hadith, Anas reported radiallahu anhu from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, صوتان ملعونان في الدنيا والآخرة مزمار عند نعمة ورنة عند المصيبة. Two sounds occurs by Allah in this life and the hereafter. Flute. A mizmar means flute. Music for the good fortune, whenever good fortune befalls. And wailing. Yani crying out loud when for a misfortune. So this hadith is recorded by Al-Bazzar and Al-Diya'u al-Maqdisi and others, verified Hassan by Imam Al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala. Okay, from this two hadith that we can see that they are mentioning of musical instruments. In the first hadith, it is said, ضربوا بالمعازف. المعازف translates as musical instruments. Doesn't matter what is the instrument, but it translates as instruments, musical instruments. And you can see here in the form of something that is forbidden, which means it is together mentioned with al-khumur, yani khamr, drinking of alcohol. It was mentioned together with female singers. So it is indicating that it is not allowed in our religion, yani music. And then also added with the second hadith, there are two things, two sounds that Allah curse. First is the one that when you are happy, that you play music, musical instruments. For example, in this case, mizmar. Mizmar literally translates as flutes. Mizmar, something that you, it's a wind instrument that you blow inside it, and then it comes out with a very beautiful sound. Okay, that is what we call mizmar. And then when something happened in the times of Jahiliyyah, they will have this ranna. Ranna means that they wail when somebody dies. Okay, when somebody, their loved ones die, they say, why? And then they will slap their face and then they will tear their clothing. So this is the acts of Jahiliyyah that was mentioned together with the things that Allah has cursed with any music as well. Okay. So alhamdulillah, he doesn't mention, the author doesn't mention too much about music in this case. So how? Okay, so alhamdulillah, right? We conclude that it is not allowed, right? So all types of music. So some people will say, brother, you bring hadith, brother. We want from the Quran. Okay, we don't want hadith. We don't want hadith. We want Quran. So it doesn't mention anything about music in the Quran. I mean, sarahatan, word by word, music in the Quran. Okay, of course, they are correct. In the Quran, it is there's no mentioning of music per se, but there are indications that leads to music. For example, the famous ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ لَهُوَ الْحَدِيثِ. Lahwa al-hadith, it interprets as, in linguistic meaning, it is called as idle talk. Idle talk, something that is idle, that's something that is, there's no benefit of doing it. And we have to see to the Sahaba, what did the Sahaba say about this phrase, lahwa al-hadith. So, Ibn Abbas said, Ibn Mas'ud or Ibn Abbas, I forgot about it. Sorry. Let me check again. If I'm not mistaken, it is Ibn Mas'ud. He said that he swears by Allah three times. He said, Wallahi, this is ma'azif. This is, sorry, not ma'azif. This is al-ghina. This is singing. And dancing, music. This is singing. Al-ghina is very general, more general. And it's singing. So, that is, people can argue that, oh, this is interpretation of the Sahaba, etc. Okay, fine. Okay, so we cannot deny the hadith. Because hadith we take as hukum as well. Whatever it is, as long as it is authentic, it is sahih or hasan, it has become our deen. It has become one of the hukum in our deen. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he won't say anything that in terms of the hukum with his desire. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. And Allah, also Allah said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever that the Prophet ﷺ brought to you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whenever the Prophet say, don't stay away, then you stay away from it. So we imagine, brothers and sisters, those who say, oh, we don't want to take from the hadith because you don't know whether it's authentic or not. We know it's authentic, of course, we have sciences of hadith, etc., etc. But imagine, how are you going to pray? How are you going to perform your khamsa salawat, your five daily prayers, without referring to the sunnah? As the Quran doesn't mention anything about takbiratul ihram, how to put your hands, how to recite, what to recite, even al-fatiha is not stated in the Quran. Everything else from our arkanul Islam, from our zakah, how much should we take out from our zakah to give into charity, all of the things, especially hajj. Subhanallah, if you don't refer to the hadith, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's actions and ibadah, nobody can do hajj. Alright, so we have to be adil, we have to be just, we have to be just in this matter. So whenever we accept from the Quran, we also have to accept from the Sunnah as well. So Allah alam, it is open to, you know, your argumentation. Some people say, what is music? What is the definition of music, etc., etc.? And then the later scholars say it is allowed as long as the music is not vulgar, as long as the music gives you motivation, etc., etc. So those are opinions, right? So we want to be safe, want to play safe, want to go back to the original source, as the author said, we have to go to the original source. We're going to see what are the first three generations of the Muslims, what they say, because these are the golden age of Islam. That the Prophet say, "Khayrun nas qarni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum." We want to play safe. We don't want to risk our akhirah for this. So alhamdulillah, we take it. Inshallah, do some more readings on music. You know, convince yourself. These are some of the hadith. I can mention another hadith that is debatable by the scholars, but this is authentic narration. Sayakunu fi ummati. Where is the hadith? Okay. La yakunanna min ummati aqwamun. There will be in my group of people, yastahilluna al-hirra. They will make halal. So before, if you make something halal, it is before it is haram, right? Make something haram is al-hirra wal-harir. Okay? They will make halal. Harir means silk, wearing the silk. Wal khamru wal ma'azif. Khamr is intoxications, alcohol, and ma'azif as well. Which is? Ma'azif is, we mentioned before, musical instruments. Musical instruments. This is Rawahu Bukhari. Rawahu Bukhari. It is not any obscure books that we don't know, we haven't heard of. This is Bukhari. Some of the scholars say it is, you know, the riwayah without Bukhari brings it without any chain of narration. But we say it is sahih, is sahih. وَصَحَحَهُ مُعَلَّقًا بِصِغَةِ الْجَزْمِ. Which means he say it is haram. I mean, it is made halal. لَا يَكُونَنَّ. So when you say la yakunanna, there will be, the Prophet say jazman, it is confirmed that one day, at the end of time, inshallah, there will be a group of people that will make it halal. Okay. Yes. So what's it?
Is like from easy to prohibit until the very last one, which is very difficult to practice.
I would say, brother, wallahu alam. This is words of the Prophet. Sometimes the sequence plays an important role as well. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the Prophet just mentioned, for example, the Prophet mentioned about the 10 signs of the hour. But it's not in sequence. The Prophet say ad-dukhan wa-dajjal wa-dabba. But the first of the major signs that will come is ad-dajjal. But he said dukhan first. Dukhan will become later. I mean the smoke. So some of the hadith, it doesn't have sequences. You have to see to the other evidences to see that whether it is according to the levels, according to the sequence or not. So in this case, wallahu alam, I'm not sure whether. But the question here, why it is so hard for us to not listen to music? That is the question, right? What happened to our ummah? What happened to us? Because it is already normalized, right? It is already, what we call it? Normalization, right? So let's say, we can see here from whatever that the author said, since we are small, we are already exposed to the music, etc. And then every videos that we see in YouTube as well, they have jingles. They have, you know, music that accompany the videos. Same goes to us here in Al Khadib. We have not to say music, but we try to keep it halal. To only voices, using voices. Voices are not considered music. To a certain extent, voices, sha'ir, you are making your sound voice nice. It is not actually music. Wallahu alam, some scholars say it is counted as well, but we take the safer approach that we don't use any musical instruments because the dalil say al-ma'azif are musical instruments, right? So, is it allowed for us to sing without any musical instruments? Are you happy when you sing? La 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 la, is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Okay, as long as you don't have vulgar words in it, okay? No vulgar words, no lyrics is okay. Giving you motivation. So there are a lot of anashid. If you read books of adab, for example, one of the books is that I read, Adab Din Wa Dunya by Imam Mawardi. He is one of the scholars of Shafi'i. So he gathers a lot of anashid. We say anshadahu. Anshada means somebody will perform this nasheed. He will say in a nice manner, in a rhythmic manner. So these are all allowed, inshallah. For example, if you want to memorize things. So scholars made manzuma. Nazam. Manzuma means something that is like a sha'ir. So when you recite, it's like having a sound, like not a music, like you're singing it. For example, يَقُولُ رَاجِي أَفِيرُ بِنْ سَمِيعِي or something like that, you know? It's like, it's easier for you to memorize. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. So we continue. Enough with the... Okay. Yes.
And I'm aware that, yes, sometimes things are given in sequence, but this is talking about normalization, isn't it? So there's no sequence. It's not a sequence here. It's just that some people will normalize some things.
Yep.
And I'm reminded of a time when I went on the Fatwa Council in Selangor.
Oh.
And I put in a search about music, and the Mufti of Selangor, he gave all of these hadith, which was beautiful. Okay. And he gave Ibn Abbas's interpretation of laghu and what that meant as well. You know, so it was kind of like hadith, it says haram. Sorry, the Quran says haram, the hadith says haram. And then he talked about the early scholars, they said it's haram. And then he said, but Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty and music is beautiful, so it's halal. And I couldn't believe that, I was shocked. It was kind of like Quran, Sunnah, you know, the Salaf Saleh, and then his own opinion. And that's what people cling to. People cling to that statement. So can I ask you, how would you refute that statement, you know, where people say Allah is beautiful and music is beautiful, so therefore music is haram, halal, sorry.
Allahu alam, brother. Because muftis, they give fatwas. They are chosen to give fatwas to the masses, depending on their masses, depending on their mad'u, who are they are giving fatwas to. Mufti wa mustafti, anhu. So, for me, wallahu alam, that is his argument. We say that qiyas is ma'al-fariq. It is far from whatever that is intended, from whatever that he is. He's brought all of the evidences. But it is, wallahu alam, for me, yeah, we don't agree. We can disagree. Fatwas are not hukum. Fatwas are things that is decided on that time, on that moment, to a particular people. So we can disagree with fatwas. No problem. We can disagree. Yeah. Unfortunately, brother, this is what we have now. I don't want to say that much, brother, because, you know, they are learned. They are scholars. They learn in Arab countries. They have read a lot of books and all. But I don't know. Maybe they have pressure. Maybe they have, you know, around them. They cannot decide on their own. They are depending on their council fatwa, for example. The processes of making a fatwa. Wallahu alam, I cannot say much about this, but we say Allah musta'an, we don't follow. That's why the masses madhab is the madhab of the mufti. Not, for example, us here in Malaysia is Shafi'i, of course, that is our official madhab, but you are in reality are following your ustaz. Whatever your ustaz say, you follow. Because you don't have knowledge, you have to be al-muqallid in a certain degree. You are a muqallid. You are following whatever your mufti or your ustaz said. Until you yourself find it on your own, seek knowledge, and you know, oh, this is not allowed. So we just leave it, because fatwa, it is not hukum. Right? Fatwa, you can leave. It is just an opinion. Maybe he is considering the whole mass of, you know, Malaysians, for example, they are already used to music and stuff. And also, you know, Inna Allah Jamil Uhibbul Jamal, the hadith also have some problem as well. But anyways, it is not regarding, you know, the context is not regarding music. The context is regarding showing good things, you know, beautifying yourselves with good clothing and etc. And wallahu alam, maybe he has his own dalil, I mean their own interpretation. So we don't follow whatever that is not aligned to the Quran and Sunnah, because our direction, our qibla is not the muftis, right? Okay. Wallahu alam. I don't want to talk about him anymore. Okay. Inshallah, may Allah SWT guide us all to the real, you know, because everybody is searching for the truth, right? Searching for the truth, and then everybody has their own, what do you call that? External forces that influence you to say something. So wallahu alam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all ikhlas for his sake, and inshallah achieve his pleasure. Ameen ya rabbal alamin. Okay, alhamdulillah, music. I am very, you know, I'm sweating because talking about music. Something. Because, you know, very controversial. When you say music, oh, sorry, oh, you are police, huh? You say haram, haram. Okay, so the division of music, what kind of music, they all, you can, you know, research yourself. But anyways, in conclusion, the musical industry is not helping. The musical industry as a whole is full of haram, is full of distraction, is full of, you know, taking you away from zikrullah, from the remembrance of Allah. And now those who are indulging in music, in musical instruments, where are your Quran? Are you, you know, loving more the music than the Quran? So these questions we have to ask ourselves, rather than we argue, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. So if you think it's okay, you can be more nearer to Allah, and that is your opinion that you take. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Let's go next to the bells and ringing. So I'm finishing, right? No, not yet. Okay, another few minutes, inshallah. Bells and rings. Hey, where's the dog there? Which is... Oh, old version. Okay, the page is 138. Bells and ring. Ringing, okay. Similar to music, many of the baby's toys have bells to produce a ringing sound. This applies more to infants' toys, such as rattles. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tashabul malaikatu rufqatan fiha kalbun aw jaras." The angels do not join in travel or a company who have with them dog or a bell. This hadith is recorded by Imam Muslim, as-Sahih, Abu Dawud and others. There are similar reports from other Sahaba, including Aisha, Ummu Habiba, Annan, and Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhum. So we continue. Al-jarsu mazamir shaytan. The bell is one of the Satan's flutes. This is Imam Muslim and Abu Dawud and others. Yeah, jaras means the tickling, 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 right? And ringing bells, right? Like the ice cream guy. Bunana reported that she was with Aisha radiallahu anha when a young girl was brought in wearing an anklet with ringing bells. Aisha asked for the girl to be taken away unless her bells were removed. She then explained that she heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tadkhulul malaikatu baytan fihi jaras." The angels do not enter into a house in which there is a bell. Okay, and one of the ways that the Christians at that time, how they call people to come to the church is using the bells. Am I correct? Yeah. So, yeah. You have a bell in your phone.
But
worship bell?
The ship, like oh, kapal, ship. From the kapal.
Oh, I think clang.
Yeah, it's quite big. But it's outside the house. And we don't ring it. It's for much in decoration lah. When people come to the house, supposedly lah, can ring the bell instead of ding dong.
Okay.
But we have both lah. We have the ding dong. Nobody rings the bell. What is your opinion? Should I remove the bell?
You can keep this question to Sheikh Hussein.
Okay,
I don't want to answer.
Next week.
I just say whatever the author said. I don't want to create any. But if you ask me, just stay away lah. Just stay away from these bells. You know, because the hadith mentioned, the angels may not come in the house. But if it's outside the house, wallahu alam, it is okay. Wallahu alam, as long as you don't use it. But you see, dogs as well, right? So dogs, if you have dogs in your house, the angels will not come. And then, if you, if you take care of a dog, your ajr will be decreased as big of Mountain Uhud day by day. So, even though keeping dogs is okay, it is allowed. We have some acceptors. I mean, for example, what is the use of the dog, right? If you use it for gaming, you know, for hunting, for guarding the house, is allowed, right? Guarding the gardens or etc. So it is allowed, but you cannot put it inside your house. Yeah, based on the al-hadith, where there's a dalil, try to keep it outside. You have to prepare for them, allocated a specific place for them, and for them to eat, for them to drink, etc., etc. And you not treat them like you know, yeah, a pet is not a pet. You cannot make him like a pet. It is somebody who guards your house. Because nowadays we need dogs, actually. We need not dogs to guard our houses. Because nowadays people just come in your house, and then you know they bring, you know, with groups of people. We see a lot of videos, CCTV's videos. They come with the group with all of this weapon, and then just bombard your house and just take whatever they want. Allah musta'an. So dogs are good. They are very, very protective of their, you know, their owners. So, but yeah, the shart, the condition is you don't put it in the house at all. Same goes because it's mentioned as well as the bell. So try not avoid to put it inside your house. Wallahu alam. Yeah, sometimes you give salam, people don't hear. Huh? Sometimes the electronic bell, electronic, because they have speakers, right? So they will put the speaker inside the room, so you will hear. But salam is better. Nowadays you can call, right? It's easy with WhatsApp call. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Huh? Wallahu ta'ala alam. No more questions. Let's continue. Television. Ah, another one. Television. But alhamdulillah, nowadays we don't have televisions anymore. But we have. This is worse than television. For me, especially, this is worse than television because you spend more time here doing nothing, and then television. Television, at least people can see what you are looking at. But this one, ya Allah, Allah musta'an. And this is a disease. Let's read what, because this book was written in the 90s, I think, around 2000. So television is still, is still used in the masses. Television encompasses all of the evils that we covered earlier in this chapter, plus many others. From the moment that a baby can discern what it sees, the TV starts playing a major role. Mostly destructive, informing the children's personality and establishing the child's principles. It is not surprising then that we include it among the repellers of good and even consider it to be the worst. Okay? Because, you know, those days, the TV, you cannot control whatever that is, put it inside, right? Because you just follow whatever the TV station provide for you. But now is, if alhamdulillah, we have smart TVs, right? We have smart TVs. You can play YouTube's or any other internet-based stations. So you can control, at least. So if you have taqwa in Allah, if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can only play all those halal series and etc. You know, cartoons that are halal, things that is not. The dramas that don't have, you know, exposing the aura, etc. There's no movies that is, too much haram inside of it. Halal movies, I don't know if there's halal movie. Those who knows, you can share with me. Most of the movies out there, it is, you know, no go, brother. Okay, whether the language or maybe the sisters inside of the movies are not covered. So most of it are haram, but you can control, alhamdulillah, nowadays. But you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So you when you have the power, I want to watch this. So better to stay away from these things. Let us see what Sheikh Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah said. With regard to television, it is dangerous. It is a dangerous device. Its harmful effects are great, like those of the cinema, or even worse. From the research that has been written about it, and from the words of experts in Arab countries and elsewhere, we know enough to conclude that it is dangerous and very harmful to Islamic beliefs and morals and society's condition. The reason for this is that it includes presentations of bad morals, of course, tempting sins, immoral pictures, semi-nakedness, destructive speech, and disbelief. It encourages imitation of the disbelievers in conduct, way of dressing, honoring their non-Muslim leaders, At the same time, it encourages neglect of the Islamic conduct and way of dressing, and belittling the Islamic scholars, ya Allah, and heroes. It damages their image by portraying them in a disdainful manner that makes the people despise and disregard them. It teaches cheating, stealing, plotting, and commit acts of violence. Without doubt, anything that produces so much evil should be stopped and shunned. This is from the fatwa of Sheikh Ibn Bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest scholars in our in the millennial era. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So this is what he said. TV. So TV, you know, TV is, that is what he commented about TV. Imagine when he knows about this, right? So this one, nobody knows except you. Nobody can see whatever you see except you. So it is good to limit ourselves on this. Okay, and then you control yourself. For example, control when you want to use it. Try to avoid using in front of your child. In front of your child. Because they see, they do. Monkey see, monkey do. You say, no, don't use the phone. But they will do it. Because they see their father do or their mother do, so they will follow suit. So, yeah. Try to, you know, limit ourselves. YouTube, and then they will, you know, nowadays YouTube is more dangerous because they feed according to the algorithm, to the things that you see, or they say, oh, this guy loves cooking. So they will put all of the cooking until you will spend your whole day with this food. And then you will neglect your portion of your Quran, your portion of your reading of your deen. Some of them might, you know, skip classes. So, brothers and sisters, try to limit ourselves. You want to watch here? Try, you know, of course, it is not easy, I know. So try to limit ourselves. You want to enjoy yourself, try to set an alarm. Because nowadays, I think, you can set like a timer, right? Right, like a timer. But usually what happens, when they say your time limit is up, and then you just ignore the time limit, right? So, try our best not to, you know, this is my advice to myself as well. TV, no, don't. Anyone has TV in their house? You have TV, is that? Oh, yeah. Nowadays, the HDs, right? The HD. I mean, this is a TV. This is not considered as TV, right? This is like a screen. Huh?
But you can stream.
Oh, you can stream from outside. Oh, as long as you subscribe to the. Oh, okay. That's even worse. Nowadays, they have this binging, right? Netflix binging. So they stay, they watch all the movies, you know, the sequel, the prequel, etc. Wasting time. Wasting time, brothers and sisters. You don't gain anything. Maybe it's good. One of the things I can recommend, if you have this kind of thing, you can watch documentaries. Documentaries, what happened before the history. You can see the history of the Egyptian history. Very, very interesting. And the animals as well, how they live. Whenever I travel using the plane, so they have this TV, right? So I try to look at the documentaries, the National Geography. Very, very beautiful scene. The thing that bothers me is how on earth they took this scene, you know? How they managed to catch this scene. Oh, subhanAllah, very, very beautiful. And then you can see the creations of Allah. They also have their own communities, how they live their life according to whatever Allah has inspired to them to live. And, you know, وَلَا تَفْقَهُ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. You do not know their tasbih. They are all praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their own way. But we humans, we don't understand their praises. So whenever we see all of these good things, we say, subhanAllah, مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا Batila. Ya Allah, you never have created all of these things, you know, without any purpose. Why all of the things is very controversial, huh? Celebrating birthdays, huh? Okay. Let us read. At the end, we can end it here, inshallah, with these birthdays. Oh yeah, we're finishing the chapter 8, Alhamdulillah. Celebrating birthdays, okay. Okay, hear me. Let us hear what the author said. Celebrating birthdays is one of the clearest acts in which the Muslims imitate the non-Muslim without reason. Let us see what is the note here. For a detailed discussion of this subject, the reader is referred to the author's Celebrations in Islam. So the author, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jibali, Hafizahullah, he has another book that he dedicated to write all the things about the celebrations in Islam. And then he also said, talks about the other things that the Muslims celebrate, which is not allowed. You can refer to this book as well, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, very good book. Okay, continue. Birthdays have reached such a high degree of importance in Muslims' lives that to them, neglecting them is as bad as neglecting one of Islam's two annual Eids, Ya Allah. Experience in celebrating birthdays, has become so, like what the author said, you know, when you forgot your friend's birthday, or it's like you have already unfriend him, you already declared war with your friends, especially your spouses or maybe your close friends. Ya Allah, you know, he will feel very sad because you forget their birthdays. What is this, man? It is not that, you know, the fact that celebrating birthdays is celebrating the day that you are closer to the grave, right? You're closer to the grave, so you are say, Alhamdulillah, I'm closer to the grave. If you are ready to go to Allah, so Alhamdulillah, right? So, Wallahu alam, remembering your birthday is different from celebrating your birthday. Of course, we need to know. I know when I was born. I keep in mind so that I know now I am already not a shabab anymore, not a young man anymore. I'm already old, right? My hair is turning gray as well. So this is a good indication. But to celebrate is a different matter. You know, you do all these things that the ritual, the things that they do, the Westerners do. I don't know, I have never experienced what the Westerners did. But we copy exactly what they do, the cakes and the, you know, with the candles and all. We try to remember but not celebrate. Remembering because we are closer to our day that we're going to meet Allah. And hear me out, this is my idea. Okay, the one that you should celebrate during your birthday is your mother. Your mother. Right, because he gave birth to you. So every time your birthday comes, you give present to your mother. So I'm not creating any new sunnah, but you have to remember your mother. And not you say, oh, Alhamdulillah, I'm old now. No, you remember your mother, you say, thank you, mama. Because of you, now I am already 40 years old. Now I'm already, I know what is good, but you taught me how to become a good Muslim, Alhamdulillah. So that is more important than following the ways of the disbelievers. You know, they dedicate these things because they don't have that lifestyle that appreciates people. For example, they have Mother's Days, right? Mother's Days, because they are not always with their mothers. They don't have in their teachings that, you know, our teaching, mother is number one. Three times the Prophet ﷺ said. Can? Three times that the Prophet said, and then your father. So parents, you know, respecting and honoring parents in our deen does not need a day. It is a lifetime commitment every single day that we cherish our parents, that we respect them, that we listen to whatever they say, as long as it doesn't conflict with the Quran and the Sunnah, the commands of Allah. So Alhamdulillah for Islam. So after the guidance of Islam, we wouldn't want to go back to those guidance of those who are not believing in Allah, not believing in Islam. As the ayah said, وَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. What comes after haq except that is astray, that is it's not disobedience. What is it after truth except for Dolal. What is dolal? Interpretation of dolal. Estri. What is the another meaning of estri? Misguidance. Ya Allah. I was looking for that. Jazakallah khair. Misguidance. Ya Allah. So Alhamdulillah, let's continue reading. Okay. By introducing innovations and wrong practices like birthdays into our children's life from their early childhood, we would be imparting to them lifelong misconceptions and deviations. Funny thing, I just want to share. Every time I go out with my, you know, my not every time, most of the time when I go out to eat outside with my family, with my children, and then there will be like a celebration of birthdays, like surprise birthdays, right? So everyone, they will play all the songs. So my, because we don't practice, Alhamdulillah, my family, we don't do that. We don't celebrate birthdays. So when they see, they say, why they are celebrating? Why we don't celebrate like that? like oh, so happy. So we have to educate them. We say, this is not from our ways. Again, and then we educate them. We don't want to follow exactly the Westerners do. This is the how the Westerners do. But you know it you know when they go to their cousins and say their cousins also celebrate birthdays, etc. So you have to play your role as well. And from there you have to see why it is not allowed, etc. Okay? But if you are celebrating birthday, I don't judge you, no problem. You know, as long as you want to learn, you discover more things in the future, inshallah. It is not a matter of, I don't know, let us see what the Sheikh say. Sheikh Saleh Al-Uthaymeen, Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh Al-Uthaymeen said, rahimahullah, celebrating a child's birthday is either an act of worship or a normal habitual practice. Okay. So he said with statement, it is either an act of worship or it's a habit, a practice, a normal practice. So the first point he said, if it is an act of worship, then it is an innovation. Of course, whatever that is ibadah that is not commanded by the Allah and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we consider it as an innovation, bid'ah, and it is confirmed. If it is confirmed from the Prophet that he warned against bid'ahs and indicated that they are acts of misguidance. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورُ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Beware of the religious matters that are innovated by the people, for every innovated matter is an act of misguidance, and whoever initiated it will reside in the hellfire. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And second, if it's an habitual practice, then it carries two violations. First, it constitutes considering Eid a day that is not so. I mean, you say that celebration, this one, celebrating birthday, is you are adding another Eid. This exhibits impoliteness before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by instituting a day of celebration without Allah's permission. Oh, subhanallah. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived at Medina, he found that the Ansar had two annual celebrations, right? They were celebrating their days, their Ansar days, their old days. So he said, قَدَّمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكُمْ يَوْمَانِ تَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ. When I came to you in Medina, you had 2 days that you celebrated from the Jahiliyyah. وَقَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهَا. Sorry, وَقَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا. And Allah indeed has substituted for you 2 better days. خَيْرًا مِنْهُمَا. Better than the two. يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ وَيَوْمَ الْفِطْرِ. The day of Nahar, yani the sacrifice day, yani the Eidul Adha, and Yawmul Fitri, the day of Yawmul Eidul Fitri. After Ramadan, first of Shawwal. It constitutes, number B, it constitutes imitating Allah's enemies, because this practice is not from Muslims' practice, but came from them and from other nations. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people is one of them. So this is fatwa this hadith is from Abu Dawud. It is sahih. And then the fatwa is from Fatwa Manarul Islam. From Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymin rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this is what the author have shared with us. Alhamdulillah, it's very, very good points indicating that we should not participate in this kind of celebrations. Wallahu alam. We don't judge those who celebrate with this. No, sometimes we, based on the day, for example, we know the date, birth date of somebody, so we wanna, you know, treat them for lunch or maybe dinner. So try to avoid the exact day. Try to avoid the exact day. Try to maybe take another day before or after, so that you know. That what was also considered as, you know, remembering birthday. So try as much as possible to change this culture, you know, because it is hard. You know, it is already inside our society, especially Malays. Malays love to celebrate birthdays, especially outside in public. They do surprises and all that. I saw this one video in UTM. So they do like a surprise in the Ta'aruf week. You have seen that video, right? UITM, is it? UITM, somewhere in Johor, somewhere. So, you know, in universities, you have orientation weeks, right? So you gather all of these new freshies, and then they create a scene, they're fighting each other in front of all of the people. And suddenly, it's like a, you know, it's like a prank. And then, oh, happy birthday, and everybody is singing in front of people. So, you know, this culture is not good. It doesn't befit somebody who goes to universities, right? University is, you know, aspire to become an academician, you know, chasing a degree, become somebody as knowledgeable, have a great honor, etc. Wallahu alam, we try to avoid all these cultures that is alien to us, especially Asians. Nowadays, it's very easy to learn other cultures from this, from TikToks, from all the social medias. So we try to go as much as possible to the way of Islam, to the teachings of the Islam. So these are the purest teachings that we can abide to. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Taraktukum ala mahajjatil bayda." I have left you, O people, on a very, you know, very clear path. Mahajjatil bayda. Lailuha kanahariha. The night is like the day. There's no difference. The light is very, 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 you know, very, very bright. Lailuha kanahariha. The night is as if it's like the day. Nothing is hidden. La yaziru anha illa halik. There's nobody that, you know, go astray from that path except that they will be destroyed. Wallahu alam. We end here today for the session, inshallah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us knowledge that is beneficial and benefit us with the knowledge that we have learned and increase our understanding of the religion. I open for Q&A if there's any comments, additions, observations. Fala tafaddal mashkura.
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
So you pointed out that birthdays are a Western practice, but the first written incidence of birthdays is the birthday of Fir'aun, and it's in the book of Genesis. So that was the first celebration of birthdays. So it's not a Western thing. The Westerners copied it from the Middle East. You mentioned that after mentioning the hadith and looking at the two statements of Sheikh Al-Jibali, you mentioned that we don't judge.
Okay.
But it's very, very clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam judged. Based on the hadith there, he says, when I came to Al-Madinah, you had 2 days that you celebrated from Jahiliyyah.
Mm.
So there, in that statement there, he says there's 2 days, and these are days from the days of ignorance.
Mm.
All right, so that's a judgment. And then he said, indeed, Allah has substituted them for you with two better days. So when we see things like celebration of the king's birthday, celebration king's birthday, yes, celebration of our own birthdays, national days, Maulid Nabi, etc., etc. Is it right for us to say we can't judge when it's very, very clear from the Quran and Sunnah that judgment has already been made?
Yeah, I mean, I don't say that you are, you know, you are, for example, I don't say that you are not able to get the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by celebrating birthday. You are not less a Muslim if you celebrate birthday. Maybe this is your mistake, that you still cannot, you know, things you cannot, you want to leave something. Sometimes in Malay society, here in Malaysia, it's hard to, you know, to brush it off, totally cut off like that. Some people can, may do. Some people, they need time. So that's why I say you cannot, I don't judge you, you are lesser Muslim than me. Maybe you have other deeds that are better than me, right? Maybe there are other deeds that make you enter Jannah, not because of you celebrating birthdays, that you go to hellfire. No. So what I mean is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you hidayah and grant you the understanding that you can leave all of this, you know, un-Islamic celebrations. Yeah. Just the action, right? So wallahu alam, maybe my the way I say it is wrong. So I apologize. Yes. Can you give a microphone?
If we celebrate birthday, like for example, sometimes you want to reunite family.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we don't talk with our mother like for so long, and then okay, take the opportunity, wishing birthday and celebrating her birthday so that we can reunite family. I think the niyat is good. So what about, you know, in this kind of situation?
Okay. Okay, the first thing, first and foremost, that we shouldn't disconnect with our mother lah. That is the first. Yeah. I mean, that is the first thing that we should do, that we don't disconnect ourselves to our mother. We need to, you know, keep track with our mothers, you know, even though we are far apart. So we need to keep update for their situation, etc., etc., and try to visit as much as possible. We know we are busy and they are all busy. So we try to, I mean, nowadays we can do, you know, VC, right? VC, what is it called? Video conference. That is the first issue. The second issue, we don't need those things to remind us to be with our mother. We can find other avenues, right? Find other avenues, for example, you know, randomly. You shouldn't wait for a specific date. For example, to make tawbah. You don't need to wait for a specific thing to happen to make tawbah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, because the concept in Islam, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, hasten to do good deeds. So I don't see any problem with that. But let's say if that is the only way that you can do, you know, try to avoid the dates with the birthday dates. Okay, so and then we want to go out to eat together with the family, something, don't make it as a, you know, as a bad birthday gathering. Try to avoid as much as possible lah, if it's possible. Okay, wallahu alam. Yes. Yeah. Correct.
So if the knowledge is not there, then it doesn't matter how good the intention is, there could be an outcome that's incorrect.
Yeah.
Like,
reach to goodness that you sought to achieve. Yes. As the statement say on the Sahaba, kam min muridil khair la yanaluhu. How many people that you see that they want goodness but they don't achieve it? Same goes to those who wants to get closer to Allah, with others, other, you know, acts of worship that is not been taught by the Prophet, right? So, wallahu alam, try our best to maneuver ourselves from this matter. And the first and most important thing, the missing ingredient in our family life matters in the Muslims is that we need to be more engaged with our parents. I myself, before this, we did a lot of mistakes. We say, oh, our parents are still there. But believe me, when parents are gone, you will feel it. Oh, my parents is not there anymore. So it is very, very important for us to treasure their life now. At least we, call. Nowadays it's very easy to connect with them. And then and try our best to make them, to please them, to make them happy. So that these are the keys of the Jannah. These are the keys to Jannah, Birrul Walidain. This is one of the greatest teaching of Islam, that we honor our parents. Wallahu alam. Does that answer the question? Other question?
How fast is Buraq?
How fast is Buraq? I can tell you, the Prophet said, the speed of Buraq is like the speed of the side of the Buraq. Let's say if you see, how far can you see? And he will be there in one step. That is the speed of Buraq. Eh? So when he see, for example, if you can see KLCC from here, zoop, there's one step, Buraq. So in one night, less than one night, he will travel from Mecca to Baitul Maqdis. That is around 5,000 kilometers. I don't know. You can do the math around that. So it's very far, but very fast. This was described by the Prophet, that how fast is the Buraq is. But does Buraq have wings? No. And it doesn't mention that the Buraq has wings, right? If you see the hadith of Buraq, it doesn't have wings. It is something like a it's smaller than a horse, it is bigger than a mule. So this is one of the animals that Allah created just for make Prophet travel to Jerusalem. MashaAllah. Very good question. So now you know how fast it is. Okay, so inshallah one day if we go to paradise, inshallah, may Allah make us all among the people of Jannah, we can see the Buraq. You say, oh Allah, I want to see the Buraq. Right? InshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, we end here enough for today. InshaAllah, jazakumullah khairan. Any comments and questions from the online? But I don't want to answer. But they can keep the questions to the Sheikh. No? Tak ada? Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan, everybody, for your patience, for your attentive listening. May Allah SWT grant us knowledge that is beneficial. May Allah make us beneficial to those who are around us. May Allah SWT increase our knowledge. And may Allah SWT, as He gathers here in this hall, may Allah SWT gather us in Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah forgive us, forgive our sins, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of our loved ones, those who are still alive and those who have passed away. May Allah SWT grant us all Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah SWT help our brothers and sisters who are being oppressed in other countries, in Palestine, in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Yemen, in all of the countries. May Allah SWT, all the brothers and sisters who are oppressed, may Allah SWT grant us victory and grant them help. May Allah SWT as well rectify all of our affairs. And may Allah SWT don't even leave us alone to ourselves, even for the blink of an eye. We end with tasbih kafara. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi. Jazakallah khair. Yeah, what was it? What is the question? Yeah, difficult. Yes, difficult. Because Jannah is not easy. Right? Jannah is not easy. The Jannah is covered with al-makarih, all the things that you don't like. But Nar is surrounded by the things that is desire and all.